Hello and welcome to this course on Pastoral Care Through Preaching. I'm David Hendricks and I'm excited about this course and glad to offer this course to you. This course is offered out of concern for biblical preaching, that preaching authentically and accurately reflects the Bible. And this course is concerned with the people in front of us when we preach, that they hear a word from the Lord that applies to their life's struggles. Now, some preachers come to mind. There's the preacher whose vision for the church shapes everything that is preached. The sermon is basically an infomercial, with seeking to persuade people to buy into the corporate vision for the church. Now, vision is good. We emphasize vision around here at Trinity as the theology of ministry courses and other administration courses encourage students to think in terms of vision. But preaching is more than rallying the troops to do church in a bigger, better way than the church down the street. What about the people in the pews whose own problems are consuming them? Flipping channels one night, I saw a pastor on a local cable station. He pointed to slogan signs around the church building, over the church doors and around the sanctuary. All of these having to do with a program that church was promoting. And I quickly changed channels, as I did not care to hear about the program. And I wonder how many of the people there mentally changed channels as well. Programs, no. People and their problems, yes. Or consider another preacher. This one is serious about exegeting a passage. This preacher digs deeply into language studies and can tell us all about the context and background of the text. Even theologians from the past made their way into the sermon. Unfortunately, there's no connection with the here and now. And the people in the pew who hear that type of message week after week hear little of relevance to their daily lives. For example, a sermon submitted by a student on justification was well written and could have been published in a scholarly journal. However, not too many of our people read scholarly journals. It is not a sign of intelligence to be misunderstood or not being capable of being understood by our listeners. And then there's the felt need talks that sound more like Reader's Digest how-to articles. Shallow pop psychology, that while scratching where people itch, are often lacking in biblical study substance. The people, like the disciple Philip, are saying, "Show us the Father," while preachers are pretending to be Dr. Phil in the pulpit. Nikki Gumbel, who developed the popular Alpha Course approach to presenting the truths of Christianity to not-yet believers, provides a good model for addressing the needs of people by frankly answering the questions postmoderns are asking, by answering those questions with biblical answers in a relevant manner. Is it possible to combine pastoral care and expository preaching? Well, that's what this course is going to explore. Now, too often an either-or approach has been taken. Our pastor isn't much in the pulpit, people say, but he's a really nice guy and really cares about us. Or, don't expect the preacher to come see you if you're sick, but you can count on her to preach a good sermon each Sunday. Now, while our personalities may impact our preferences in regard to how we are more naturally inclined to spend our time, the people in our congregations deserve to know that we both A, care what the Bible has to say, and B, care about them and what's going on in their lives. One of your module assignments calls for you to read the writings of a pastor who lived a long time ago. He provides a model for us of a local church pastor who loved God's word and loved his people. The people of his village affectionately called him the Holy Mr. Herbert because they saw in George Herbert a life of consecrated service to God and God's people. In chapter 7 of The Country Parson, or The Priest in the Temple, George Herbert, poet and contemporary of John Donne and the metaphysical poets of the 16th century, says, "The country parson preacheth constantly. The pulpit is his joy and throne." Well, what about it? Is the pulpit your joy and your throne? Do you look forward with great anticipation to the sacred honor of preaching each week? Well, if not, why not? One associate pastor, a skilled worship leader, due to an emergency that took the senior pastor away from the church, had to preach on a regular basis and found that he disliked preparing to preach. He said, "It feels like always working on a term paper." That's how he described it. Well, preaching was not enjoyable for him. And he did his church a favor when he stepped aside from preaching. Well, consider the pastoral nature of George Herbert's thoughts about preaching. He often tells them that sermons are dangerous things, that none goes out of church as he came in, but either better or worse, that none is careless before his judge, and that the word of God shall judge us. Sermons as dangerous things? Yes. When people are being confronted by God's word. Yes, when sin is exposed. Yes, when the secrets of the heart are revealed. Yes, when the Holy Spirit takes the biblical story and makes that thou art the man, thou art the woman application to the nice church-going people before us. George Herbert indicates 5 ways whereby the parson procures attention. First, by choosing text of devotion, not controversy, moving and ravishing text, whereof the scriptures are full. So pastoral preaching begins with text selection, those moving and ravishing text. Have you ever thought about why so many people want the 23rd Psalm preached at their funerals, or why they request the 23rd Psalm to be read at the funeral of a loved one? It's because it's a moving and ravishing text. The Psalm connects with people. The Psalm addresses the big issues of life, and people want to hear more about what the Psalm is about. Preaching the whole counsel of God does not mean that we have to spend equal time on each chapter in the Bible. Some chapters may receive a broad brush, while others merit a fine stroke. Expository preaching does not have to mean a chapter-by-chapter exhaustive and often exhausting approach to preaching. Harold Bryson's definition of expository preaching has been liberating for some pastors who thought that they had to laboriously go through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That's a commentary. That's not preaching. Bryson defines expository preaching as the art of preaching a series of sermons, either consecutive or selective, from a Bible book. Haddon Robinson's definition of expository preaching has also been a blessing to those preachers who thought they had to do a running commentary in order to preach biblically. Robinson calls expository preaching the communication of a biblical concept derived from and transmitted through a historical, grammatical, and literary study of a passage in its context, which the Holy Spirit first applies to the personality and experience of the preacher, then through him to his hearers. Now, passage, in Robinson's definition, is not so much a matter of length of the passage as what you do with the passage. Find that biblical concept, or truth, or principle, or big idea, through study and personal application, and then make application to the hearers. I like the way that Fred Craddock said it at a preaching workshop I attended in Cherry Log, Georgia, where his Craddock Center is making a difference in the lives of many Head Start children in the North Georgia mountains. Craddock said, "Preaching is the interpretation of a biblical text for the people in front of you." Now back to the counsel given by George Herbert. Choose text of devotion, not controversy. Moving and ravishing text, whereof the scriptures are full. Herbert was not saying to avoid dealing with controversy. We have to address controversial issues in the light of scripture. I think he was referring to doctrinal hobby horses and obscure passages that generate more heat than light. One young pastor frequently preached from Ezekiel and seemed to find things in Ezekiel no one else had ever found. I should have said something to him that none of the commentaries, none of the printed sermons of Spurgeon or Wesley or Luther or Calvin or Finney or whoever did not preach Ezekiel in the same manner. Yes, there's revelation, but there's also the witness of the church through the centuries. Choose those moving and ravishing texts. There's plenty of those texts in the Bible, and after you've preached on those, feel free to ride your hobby horse of obscure text off into the sunset. The second matter of advice that George Herbert gives concerning preaching in a manner that procures attention concerns the impact of God's word on preaching. Herbert says, "By dipping and seasoning all our words and sentences in our hearts before they come into our mouths, truly affecting and cordially expressing all that we say, so that the auditors may plainly perceive that every word is heart deep." Pastoral preaching is heart-deep preaching. There's a connection people sense when they know an authentic, from-the-heart message is being shared. The authority the crowds attributed to Jesus in Matthew 7:29, following his preaching of the Sermon on the Mount, is an indication of depth and fullness. Exousia, or authority, also refers to force, capacity, competency, liberty, power, strength. That's Exousia, exousia. Well, is exousia coming through in our preaching, the authority of being impacted by the Holy Spirit in our preparation and in our preaching time. See, preaching the truth in love, cordially expressing all that we say, as Herbert put it, is a skill some preachers never master. For them, the pulpit is a wall they stand behind in order to peek over to shoot bullets of legalism and party-line religion at the wild hooligans before them. Speaking the truth in love, in the context of Ephesians 4:15, is thoroughly interwoven with the life in the church and growing up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. That's Ephesians 4:15 and 16. Well, do our people know that we love them, even when we're speaking a word of correction or rebuke? They will, as they recognize that we have been confronted by the same word and that we sincerely want the best for them, God's best. Well, is our preaching heart deep? George Herbert gives a third item of counsel for connecting and staying connected with our listeners. And in this advice, you can sense why the people called him the Holy Mr. Herbert. Thirdly, by turning often and making apostrophes to God, as, "O Lord, bless my people and teach them this point," or, "O my master, on whose errand I run, let me hold my peace, and thou speak thyself, for thou art love, and when thou teachest, all are scholars." These apostrophes are, as the American Heritage Dictionary says, a digression in discourse, especially in turning away from the audience to address an absent or imaginary person. We're not to an absent or imaginary person in Herbert's case. He knew preaching was an offering unto God, whose presence was there in the midst of those gathered in His name. Pastoral preaching invites God's presence and power while in the act of preaching to these people you care about and with whom you have deep relationships. Try it. Lord, bless them. Lord, teach them. Lord, show them in ways far better than I can imagine. Herbert continues, "Some such irradiations, scatteringly in the sermon, carry great holiness in them." And then he quotes Isaiah 64:1, "O that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down," in Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." "Come, Holy Spirit," is a prayer often offered at the beginning of a worship service. What about praying, "Come, Holy Spirit," during the preaching of God's Word? The one who inspired the writing of the Word desires to enlighten that Word today. A fourth aspect of preaching in a pastoral manner that George Herbert suggests is simple, yet profound. What if we dared to tell them we love them even while preaching? Herbert says, "By frequent wishes of the people's good, and joying therein, though he himself were with St. Paul even sacrificed upon the service of their faith, for there is no greater sense of holiness than the procuring and rejoicing in another's good." Now, see, this is not Gatling gun preaching, mowing them down and blowing them away, screaming, yelling, fussing, scaring the hell out of people preaching. This is pastoral preaching, like Paul in Romans 1:9, where he says, "I mention you always in my prayers." Do your people know that you're praying for them? This is Ephesians 1:16 preaching. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Do your people know that you thank God for them? This is 1 Corinthians 1:4 preaching. "I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus." Do your people know that you're grateful for the grace God has given to them? You see, this is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 preaching. "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer in joy, thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Do your people know you rejoice over their partnership in the gospel? George Herbert elaborates by pointing to 2 Corinthians. What an admirable epistle. Epistle is the second letter to the Corinthians. What's full of affections? He joys and he has sorrow. He grieves and he glories. Never was there such care of a flock expressed, save in the great shepherd of the fold, who first shed tears over Jerusalem and afterwards blood. Therefore this care may be learned there and then woven into sermons. The fifth and final admonition Herbert concerns awareness of the presence of God. Lastly, by an often urging of the presence and majesty of God, by these or like speeches, oh, let us all take heed what we do. God sees us. He sees us whether I speak as I ought or you hear as you ought. He sees hearts as we see faces. He is among us. For if we be here, he must be here, since we are here by him, and without him, we could not be here. Pastoral preaching acknowledges Jesus in our midst. Even when just two or three are gathered in his name, he is there, seeing hearts as we see faces. Preaching, then, with the awareness of the Prince of Preachers in attendance, as we humbly offer our words along with his word, is, as Herbert urges, handling of a text consists of two parts. First, a plain and evident declaration of the meaning of the text, and secondly, some choice observations drawn out of the whole text. Well, that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? The plain and evident declaration of the meaning of the text, and some choice observations drawn out of the text. Well, what if we did that week after week? What if we dare to take the Bible seriously? So seriously that we dig deeply into this treasure chest of truth and select a jewel of great beauty and display it proudly to our people and show them how they can be adorned with this jewel purchased on their behalf by the blood of Jesus. The people of Bimberton loved their parson, and his early death at age 39 was a great loss to them. He loved God, and he loved his people. In our preaching, do our people know we love God and that we love them?